We begin, though, with electronic health records. It's an issue that's gotten a lot of attention over the last couple of months. Several federal agencies involved in getting electronic health records up and running and making their use more widespread across the country. And my guest to talk about some recent developments in the field of electronic health records, Dr. John Lunsk of CGI Federal, the chief medical officer, in fact, for CGI in the United States, former director of interoperability and standards at HHS and former associate director for informatics at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Dr. Lunsk, thanks for being with me today. Appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you, Francis. Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I turned 39 again today. It's a pretty amazing phenomenon. Some new regulations, new requirements in the field of meaningful use. Give me the thumbnail sketch of what we're looking at here, please.
Sure. In a thumbnail, there's been a lot of talk about moving physicians and hospitals onto electronic health records. To this point, they haven't really embraced them. They like technology, but the health records, in terms of managing the patient record, have not really caught on in a big way. Essentially, only around 16% of physician providers use them. And a smaller number use them to great effect at this point. So when the administration was thinking about health reform, there was a recognition, I think, that you needed to move forward with electronic health records as a platform to do some of the things of improving quality of healthcare and also trying to reduce some of the costs of healthcare move forward with that agenda. So the stimulus included essentially what would amount to about as much as $36 billion for moving forward in this area, and principally trying to incent physicians and hospitals to implement electronic health records. The rules that have come out, and there are actually a number of them, but the most prominent one is called the meaningful use rule in shorthand, is about what the physicians and what the hospitals need to do to get their share of the money around implementing these electronic health records.
I looked at the website, the CMS website, about meaningful use, and it says specifics of stage one meaningful use for 2011-2012. Meaningful use includes both a core set and a menu set of objectives that are specific for eligible professionals and hospitals. For eligible professionals, I imagine that means the typical doctor with his own practice. There are a total of 25 meaningful use objectives. 20 of the objectives must be completed to qualify for an incentive payment. 15 are core objectives that are required. And we go through here, and it just strikes me that it's kind of a laundry list kind of thing that would prompt the average doctor in practice to say, I got patients I got to treat. This is just another thing for somebody in my staff to have to work on.
This is a very complicated program, and you're right that the meaningful use component itself has some complexity to it, but even just the implementation of paying the physicians and paying the hospitals, ensuring that there aren't duplicates, the logistics of it are complicated. Essentially, the monies will flow through both Medicare and through CMS at the federal government level, as well as through Medicaid, which is supported through the different states. So, for example, CGI is helping some of the states try to implement just the logistics of the Medicaid portion of the incentive payment program.
We're starting to see stories like that, not just that your company is dealing with, or even from the contractor perspective, the vendor perspective, but from the state and local government perspective, where it's some of the programs that are coming through, especially the Recovery Act, are a little more difficult than people expected to be implemented. And so governments are having to hire people just to deal with the reporting and requirements and implementation requirements and so forth. Is that kind of what you're seeing at CGI as you go through this particular element of it?
Yeah, on this one, it definitely a lot of the responsibility befalls the states. I mentioned supporting the Medicaid component of it, and those physicians and hospitals who will seek the incentive payment through that. But there's also there are also components around health information exchange, so how these electronic health records can exchange securely information amongst themselves. That is really befalling the states as a responsibility to move forward, as well as the very complicated activity of supporting how these the progress towards implementing these in physicians' offices. Quite frequently, they're disruptive when you implement them at the outset. There's work involved, and there are lessons that have been learned from previous implementations that are very helpful to physicians when they're going about this. But getting that information out and supporting them is a big challenge as well.
That strikes me as the number one factor in whether a physician or a practice is willing to participate in this. Is anybody that's ever even hooked a printer up to a computer knows that any kind of IT change is potentially very disruptive. When it involves the care of human beings, the potential is magnified, I imagine. And so I would think that a lot of doctors and heads of practices are sitting there going, I'm not sure I just want to go through all the tumult of this for however long it's going to take to work out all the kinks.
That's been very prominent, and you think of other aspects of this too, that the technology has not been too physician-friendly. The way physicians like to work is move from room to room, for example, and the technology usually sits in a room. Now, that's improving. I think, for example, the pad technology offers great promise for provider settings, but you do have all the issues you talked about. These data are very sensitive, and they need to be secure and protected, and the patient's trust is involved. And so there are a lot of things at stake in regard to these. And so, and not to mention the fact that just once you implement the system, and a lot of the benefits are more at a population level and more at a payer level in terms of what the systems can do for healthcare.
My doctor's office uses a rather kind of a rudimentary form of electronic health records, and having experienced it and the ability for me to see whoever I need to see in the practice, whoever's available, and have them be able to know my entire history legibly is one element of it that I like. There's no denying the fact that this will be a tremendous breakthrough in healthcare when electronic health records can be used widely, and when I can take the information from my doctor, and if I needed to go to a hospital or if I was on vacation somewhere, whatever. I think a lot of people get that. What do you think is enough of an incentive that would get some of these doctors and hospitals over the hump to get involved with this?
Well, there is a lot of buzz around the stimulus dollar. So $34 or $36 billion is a lot of money. When you spread that across all the hospitals and providers in the country, it starts to look smaller and smaller. When you think about implementing an electronic health record in a practice, you're also thinking about ongoing costs, not just one-time costs. So those are some of the aspects that make it a little less attractive from a provider or physician standpoint. But I think in the end, what will make this compelling is when health insurance reform and health payment reform start to really put pressure on provider organizations to accept some of the risk for the cost of care and for managing care. And that's what the direction that's been set in the health reform legislation. It's not really quite implemented yet, but the idea is these accountable care organizations, which will be close to the providers, very much on the provider side versus the payer side, and will start to have to manage some of the cost and quality issues. And to do that, they will need health information technology that can really support them. So then you've got a certain alignment of outcomes. They've got an alignment of the benefits with the providers instead of the benefits being aligned with the payers, which are typically separate organizations right now.
One thing that I've noticed throughout this entire discussion about healthcare reform, and we've talked about the role of the government, not you and I, but the discussion in general has revolved around the role of the government. What's the role of the insurance company? What's the role of the healthcare provider? Very rarely has the topic of the role of the patient been involved, been discussed. And I'm curious about your thoughts about maybe why that is, first of all, why we haven't talked much about patient responsibility, and then maybe what the government's role might be in helping the patients to understand, the consumers to understand what their role should be in this whole equation.
Well, there certainly have been some encouraging signs relative to the internet as a way for patients to get more information. So to search for information when they have a reason, and that, you know, one of the classic problems here is that people tend to only seek these things out when they have a reason to, and so and at that time, the infrastructure may not be in place, or they may not have the access they need when they have the really compelling reason. But there also has been some activity around what are called personal health records, where the patient would manage their own health record and have a more prominent role in managing their own care by virtue of that. The challenge has been with some of that is that health information is complicated to record, and it's complicated to share. It's complicated to move from one software system to another, and there are not many people who will really manually type in their medical records into a personal health record for that outcome. Part of what is described in the high-tech legislation, which is the health part of the stimulus legislation, was a developing requirement to have the providers, the physicians' electronic health records, be able to share information more readily with PHRs, and then they may take off when that advances. The other thing that the patients have really grabbed onto is online access from a communication standpoint with providers. In other words, if you have a secure email capability with your physician, that's something that patients frequently like. They don't have to wait on the phone to try to reach their physician. They don't have to go into the office. And so in circumstances where that is implemented, patients have very much enjoyed that capability. The challenge has been it's not always reimbursed for the provider to spend that time. So it's sort of been an additional duty as a sign for many physicians, and that hasn't sat well with their busy, busy practices.
CGI Federal Chief Medical Officer John Lunsk, my guest on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. John, there's a lot going on about electronic health records in VA and DOD, and when we come back from the break, if I could just quickly get your thoughts about how scalable and transferable some of those concepts might be, if that's something you're familiar with. We'll be back in a moment on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Dr. John Lunsk of CGI Federal, Chief Medical Officer there, and formerly of the Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And we're talking about electronic health records and some new requirements that are coming into play on electronic health records through CMS. As I mentioned before the break, John, Pentagon and Department of Veterans Affairs spending a lot of money and a lot of energy directed toward electronic health records and making a lot of progress. I'm curious to know if you think that those programs are potentially scalable and duplicatable in the private sector to give some of these doctors and hospitals we've been talking about a leg up or a boost to get in on this program.
So that you're exactly right that both these organizations saw the potential benefits of electronic health records some time ago and have had their fits and starts with their programs, but have shown significant progress. The Veterans Administration has demonstrably improved health care inside of its organization with significant contribution from the electronic health records in that regard. They are also somewhat unique organizations. They are obviously federal agencies. They have more of a top-down organizational structure than much of the private healthcare sector does. But that doesn't mean that things can't be learned. And I think there are many things that can be learned from the ways in which they have had success in using electronic health records and some of the challenges they've had.
John, there's always more stuff to talk about than there is time to talk about it. So I'd love to have you come back and talk about how that might look, trying to transform some of these systems and make them usable in the private sector that VA and DOD are using and all across government.
I'd like that maybe on your next 38th birthday.
I hope it's not a year from now that I get to talk to you again. Dr. John Lunsk, Chief Medical Officer at CGI Federal, thanks very much for being on the program.
Thanks, Francis.